Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride. Yeah. All right, Khadija isn't missing us because she's in Cuba this week, but Carrie's joining us. And Carrie, I feel like you're like hot off your announcing at the Austin Marathon gig. You're like basically a celebrity.
That's just it. It's like those who can't race, they just get handed a microphone and they're like, why don't you go cheer some people on? But yeah, like oddly flattering, I have to say, The race committee called or they emailed and said, hey, we need some on-course race announcers and here's what we'll do. You will be with the timing company at the 35K mark. So that's where they set me up. And that's for those of you that can't do the conversion, it's pretty close to the 22 mile mark of the marathon, which is the worst, best place to hand a microphone to somebody, really. And so I was there with a timing person. And so when the runners would cross the 35K chip mat, I would see their name and where they were from where they were from, that would pop up on my screen. And I don't know, I would love to get some feedback. I would love to get some solicitations, some ideas on what to say and what not to say, even though the event has already passed, but I
what
know
did
I'm
you?
Doing this again. So what I think I did pretty well. Like I think for the most part, I did pretty good. So I had a standard script. And you could tell, it's funny because the faster groups, I would really just sort of call out when the pace groups would come by. And so you had like your 3 hour pace group and there was the little pack and you had your 305 and your 310, your 315. And so I would just really focus on the fact that you are working together today and you are getting each other to hopefully your Boston qualifiers or massive PRs, like you're doing it together strong. And I thought, okay, that's pretty good. Well, then you get to, let's just say the later paces or just people that are, you know, they don't care. They're not trying to hit a certain time goal. And then it became me having one-on-one connections with them. So I would call out their name and I would say, you know, Lisa from New Hampshire, welcome to Austin, Texas. And she would just be like, oh my God, it was fantastic. Only a few times did I say stupid shit like, you're almost there, which
no.
I know. It was like, what? That's in the binder of what not to say at that point on the
at
course.
That point, yeah.
And I would just got caught up in it. A few times, if I did see a pack of runners coming together, I was giving them some coaching cues because I would say, you know, loosen your shoulders, give yourself a little shake, like get them down, make sure that your stride is nice and fluid. Speaking of fluid, I'm like, stay hydrated, keep taking those calories. So it was just
good advice.
Those things like when your brain shuts off at mile 22.
Did you get any training before they handed you a mic?
Life experience, Kelly O'Mara. So much life experience of being in the pain cave of those races.
So you could have said anything is what I'm gathering.
Yes. They handed me a microphone, a gigantic speaker, and a playlist. And so it was like Pitbull and Carrie on the mic for 5 hours.
Okay.
So I think my question is, if they hire me again in the future, like, what are things that I should be saying? Or conversely, the dumb shit, like, you're almost there. Like,
I feel like you can't go wrong with, you're awesome. You're amazing. You're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious that I should have probably just stuck with the script.
I think I am the wrong person to ask, because like the longer it goes on, I'd for sure start saying things like, I love your sparkly shoes.
Like, that's good, though. Like, I feel like I would appreciate that.
Or just random things where like, oh, looks like you're going through a dark spot. Oh.
I'm putting that in the no column.
Yeah, don't do that. No.
Stop.
What is up?
There's... You're walking. You know this is a marathon, right? Like...
Don't walk now.
Occasionally you'd have somebody pull up like right near me, right. Like pull up and like either cramp or have a stretch. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, basically I like pull the mic away. I'm like, dude, you got this. Just, you know, stay in it. Keep your head in the game. But yeah, it was a study in personalities because some people just loved it. You would say their name and they would just, they would float with so much joy and energy, and then other people wouldn't even look over at you. I was also saying stuff like, you know, if they were from out of town, I was like, oh, it's Sarah from New Hampshire. Welcome to Austin, Sarah. Breakfast tacos in just a few miles, you know, just very Austin-y thing.
I always manage to forget that, like, my name is on my bib and also it comes up on a computer, and I'm always like, everyone knows me. I am like so popular.
No, yeah. It was fun. And so I would love any, if anyone ever wants to like leave us a voicemail, it's in the show notes of how to leave us a quick voicemail. Like, what do you want to hear when you are at that point in a race when your brain stops working? You know, I kind of did the whole like, you're running with your heart now.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah, just
you do not want to hear, it looks like you're going through a dark place.
I just want to hear that I'm awesome.
I feel like it's so individual, because if I heard that you're awesome, like mile 22, I know I'm having a bad day. I'd be like, Gary, die.
Or like my you know, there's always ones that like your husband or your friends yell at you that are like, right? And my husband, like, I know he thinks I am struggling when there's like this big pause and he's like, you don't know what can happen. Like, oh, okay.
And then you have to wait for there's a definite pause after that one.
Right.
There were definitely a few people I could be like, are you questioning your life choices right now? Right. But like other people, you're like, no, you can't say that.
Yeah. But you don't know. I think almost like when you register for one of these longer races, you have to put your preferences in.
Oh, that'd be
because
good.
Some things would just drive me insane. And I know being on the other side, like cheering for people, like making dumb jokes, like some people just give you a death glare and others they're like, thank goodness I needed a little levity. And like, that wasn't actually funny, but I appreciated the effort. So I feel like that would be me, was that like hour five, I'd be making some really dumb jokes that sometimes it might land, sometimes it might not. But if I had like a list of what I'm allowed to say to each person, like at mile 22.
So you should fill that out. Like when you do your registration and it like asks you for your story, it should also be like, and what would you like people to yell at you? And
totally.
You can like list. Yes.
Totally. Because sometimes the announcers just get on my nerves what they're saying. Yeah. I'm like, no.
I like that. Yeah. I do. Okay. I'm going to suggest that High Five Events, who runs Austin Marathon. Well, thank you for that unsolicited. Well, actually, thank you for that solicited advice today. Yes, exactly. I appreciate it.
All right. We are going to cover other topics today. We're going to talk about all of our, we got Jocelyn back. So of course we got to do all our hot topics and our news. And then we need an update on training. Cause I feel like we all have our big goals. We got to find out how we're getting ready for Placid after this ad break.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
All right, so the biggest controversy I feel like that we didn't talk about last week, but it was like crazy, is this whole park run mess. And Sarah's actually nodding this time, so Sarah actually knows one. So there you go.
Yeah, but... I mean, I know a little bit about it in part because you actually had it in the run list last week. Yeah. And we didn't talk about it.
So,
can you lay some
I'm just saying, since Sarah knows about it, I feel like we should get her summary this time.
No, because if you actually want a reliable source of information, it's not me. Anybody who's listened to the podcast knows this.
You are not a reliable source of information. Oh, no.
Perhaps that is why people listen to this podcast.
All right, here's more of an overseas controversy.
It's massive in the UK. So here's the thing about Parkrun. So Parkrun is like a free 5K at your local park every weekend, right? And they are like insanely popular in the UK. Like every park has one. Like even when I visited Steve's cousins, we like did the one in the park there. There's like 2,000 in the world and like 1,300 of them are in the UK. Like they're just really, really popular there. And like 2 million people, 9 million, it's like millions of people have done these. So they're timed, but they're not like awards, if that makes sense. So like you can take it as seriously as you want or not.
Are speaking they of like hand timed?
Yeah. They're not like it's like, okay, go.
Popsicle stick time?
That's the one I did was, but I think like some of them are more sophisticated than that.
Okay.
Speaking of like things people yelled at you, like in Belfast, the what they kept yelling at me, because I was like right in second, was she can be gotten, which is like such a weird thing to yell. They're like, she can be gotten. And you're like, oh
I will remember that. Yeah. I will remember that for the next time.
So anyway, they're really popular. And the thing is, they become so popular now that people are starting like take them seriously with the times and the like records. And so there are records now of like your park on your corner, like who's run it fastest and like the age group, like who has the age group record for each age group and age grading, like what, you know, like age grading, how like how good you are for your age and gender, like they give you a percent.
Okay.
So the thing is, last week or a week and a half ago, Park Run got rid of all the records, all data, all records, all times. They just like took them off the website. And people say it's because there's been this like controversy about whether trans women should be allowed to compete or not. But I could only find record of like three trans women having any age group, like their local park's age group record. So I don't, like, that doesn't seem like it warrants that kind of a response. So anyway, so the park run director said it's more because they're trying to get back to their like non-competitive, get people outside spirit, because that's like their whole mission. But okay. It was crazy. Like, it was on the BBC. It was on like the Guard. Like, the UK went nuts for like a week and a half. Oh, yeah, you want a triathlon connection? Chrissy Wellington is on the board of Park Run, but she's on maternity leave or something right now.
Get her on the podcast.
Yeah,
get her on the podcast. We don't want to talk about
anything else.
Her triathlon career. We want the gossip.
I know. Yeah, winning cone on a borrowed bike. Blah blah blah. No. Tell us about Park Run.
So okay, I think the analogy here for those who don't do parkrun is like people getting really worked up about Strava and segments and like it takes away the fun of just riding your bike, but then like you also really care about getting those segments. So I get it. I get both sides. If like Strava just went and like wiped everything, there would be a lot of very
I would upset. Be upset. Yeah. I'd be like, what the fuck? This is crazy. Yeah.
But then again, like, okay, Park Run probably should have given people the heads up that this might happen. I think that was a major problem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If that was the real reason they did it, which I am in support of, because
so
I
like
think,
getting back to getting people outside, not being so competitive.
Yeah. Like, let people like keep track locally, but Park Run itself doesn't need to do that.
Like the way, like back before Strava, when we all had like knew who had biked the hill climb in your neighborhood like the fastest, and you know what I mean, like when we kept like random local,
you can keep it local and make it a local fun thing. But once you start comparing, you know, course to course, and who knows how well they're measured and who really cares.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about. How you can, I mean, all the courses are different. They're 5Ks, but they're like some are hand time, some.
And like, to be fair, like, and I'm only going to judge, like, I've done two. So, like, obviously, I'm sure there's ones that are like more sophisticated, but the two I've done were like, we're going to run around this park three times. Like, it was not like they were not measuring it. It was just like, whatever. Yeah.
I don't see why they couldn't just take away the age grading and like the records, but leave the results. Cause I feel like if it were me, I would still want to know all my times on the different courses and different years to compare myself to myself.
That's why if like Strava got rid, Sarah, like I don't have any KOMs or anything because, you know, where we live and whatever. But like I would be so annoyed if I couldn't look at like how I had changed over there, because I totally use it for that. If they got rid of all the data and I couldn't see like how I had done, I would be really annoyed.
Oh, I love that. So maybe Park Run really needs to make it more of an individual thing where you log in and you can see your results at different park runs, how you've done historically, like against peers. It's not like keeping track of records, nothing like that. So it's not about high performance. It's about individual performance, which does keep it more fun because it becomes, like you said, it's a way to track your performance over time. So I like that part of it.
It is super annoying when you do go to Strava to see like, oh, how, you know, because I do like the same, right? You're like, oh, and then you realize that like, oh, you actually have been consistently getting slower at this loop for the last 7 years. And you're like, God damn it.
I don't want to know that.
I don't want to tell me if I get faster. Yeah.
The idea of having like a park run portal, your own personal park run portal where you submit your times and you can keep track of all of that. There is something to be said for that.
You know how I'm like ultra running this spring? Okay, so right. So apparently in trail running, there are like five different like ranking systems that you like this reminded me because there is the UTMB portal where I can sign up for like my UTMB and then my race is all tracked in that. And then there's
your
like
rocks or whatever.
And get my stones. Yeah, your that's stones. Why I'm doing this. I'm doing this to get my stones. But the point is like they have a ranking system where they give you like points based on how you did at races. But then like Ultra Sign Up or something has one.
I'm on Ultra Sign Up.
And I have, so I was looking at that, but there's definitely a Kelly O'Mara that like is slower than me and I want her things removed.
Yes. So it's very annoying. You can email them and have them removed.
But then apparently, and I just found this out today or whatever, because I was reading something, there's like an International Trail Association. There's like three or four that like the trail runners take very, which is like, that's just That's just like crazy. That's too many.
I mean, we're basically 6 years old at this point where we are still motivated by these little gold stars. These are all just little gold stars for all of us.
So the other thing I can't figure out though, guys, about parkrun, and when I was like trying to explain like how crazy this is in the UK, why is it not a big thing here?
Oh, because capitalism.
You think that's why?
They have capitalism. They have in the UK.
They definitely sure. have. Yeah. Pretty sure like London is like a financial hub of the world, but whatever.
But these, you said they're free.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
It's like a nonprofit. Yeah.
Uh huh.
And there is like an American arm, but I think they have like a dozen of them in the country. Like it's not a big
Yeah, thing. I did go look. It's Brooks. Brooks puts them mm-hmm. on. Yeah, parkrun.us is the website, or appears to be the website for the United States events.
They just like, so.
Are we too litigious? Like, somebody would roll their ankle and want to sue somebody.
I think, but my local, like the run club in Marin has these ones that they only happen once a month and you have to like, no, but they're $3 and they are popsicle timed, Jocelyn. You do like,
yeah.
Yeah. So like, I mean, that's similar. It's not like they don't exist.
Hmm. Do you have to sign a waiver?
Probably
you have to
sign. I mean, I'm sure you have to sign a waiver.
Is it all volunteer led? Because people don't want to volunteer here. They want to get paid.
You think that's the problem?
Mm.
Maybe.
Ironically, a lot of them, I'm just looking at their map of park run events, and a lot of them are in the Midwest and East Coast. Like,
yeah, is there one near me?
Wait, where are you?
Delaware.
Well, yeah, but I meant like where? Well, I guess it's not that big a place. You could go wherever.
No, I don't even know if Delaware shows
it's
up
in
on
between
my map.
Baltimore and Philadelphia.
I don't know. Probably there's something in there, but yeah, there's like, there's like one in California.
Yeah, I just like, it's interesting. I don't know why, like I don't know why they don't catch on here, but
I just hadn't heard of them. Maybe it's a PR issue where people just haven't heard of them yet, or we're so used to these big events.
Oh, no medals, no bling.
No, there are no medals, there's no bling, there's no
that's
anything.
That's why.
But you also just like literally like Steve's cousin, like we were out drinking till like midnight or whatever. And it was like, well, we're going to the park run tomorrow morning. Like you just like get up and go to the park run on Sunday. It didn't matter like if you were going to run fast or slow. That's just like what they do on Sunday.
So I wonder if there's a cultural part of it where it is replacing something that was already like part of the tradition. So like people used to do X, Y, or Z in the UK.
We should ask Sid.
Substitute for yeah.
Explain. Hey, Sid
would know.
Explain your country.
Parkrun. Explain your country.
Did this evolve from like after drinking at the pub?
Right. That makes sense. I will say though, like a lot of these, like okay, transitioning topics here, ready? But like a lot of these, like big triathlon things and like things that are really big over there, they just like. You watch them try to bring them over here and it just like doesn't work or it doesn't make sense. Or they like do not understand how things work, not just like in the US, but like on the East Coast versus the West Coast, right? And they don't understand the US like at all. Like you look at like all of these, like the PTO and Super League and the chaos with Malibu and New York and Alcatraz. And they like think they're going to come in with all their big money. And you're like, we have city councils. And like, and somebody was texting me something today, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, if that happened here, they would get sued. Like end of discussion.
Yeah,
it was a bullshit thing, but it was just like, no, that would never happen. And like, they mm-hmm. just, it's hard to explain. Like, it's a different.
Like I said, nobody wants to get sued if somebody rolls their ankle.
Okay, well, in all fairness,
it's litigious.
But this was like, okay, so in all fairness, like the fact that anyone can file a lawsuit in the US is actually like our checks and balances, right? Like it does, like the thing that somebody was asking me about today was bullshit. And they were like, can this happen? And I was like, well, if someone did that here, they would get, so, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you can't mm-hmm. do, like, you can't be fucking bullshit because you will get sued. Like, that's how it works. Like, and obviously there's like problems and whatever, but anyway.
I love, that was the quote of the night that I need to timestamp. You can't be fucking bullshit.
That you'll get sued.
Best line ever.
There you go. But I do think a lot of these like big European, very European organizations that come over here, like don't get that don't understand. Don't understand us.
I feel like this podcast has devolved into an slightly anti-European podcast. I just want to say for the record, we're not anti, because between like the croissant hating, like the T100 font, you know,
the font like, was dumb. The name bashing, is dumb. Yeah.
I love croissants. I'm just telling you.
I'm just saying, I've been like at a lot of these, like you go on these like bit, like try things, right? Like you go to like, I don't know, like the world championships or like awards or conferences. And you're at these things with a lot of like people who are basically more global than they are whatever country, right? Like even like the Americans who are pros, like tend to like live abroad. You know what I'm saying? Like people are very like internationally. And I go and I'm like the most American person. Like a lot of these people have, so I feel like this need to like explain America to them. Like, I'm like, oh, honey, like no. So,
and it's so, and it's so very American to explain America,
right? But it's funny because here, I mean, here in this country, like most people would be like, oh, Kelly, she's like a West Coast San Francisco elite. But for a lot of these like triathlon international people, that I'm like the most American person they know, right? Like I would like, they're like, oh shit, she's been to a lot of states, you know. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, before we close out the park run loop, yes. Has there been any resolution? Have they backpedaled on any of what they had done? Where they got rid of all the results?
I don't think so.
Okay, so it's just still in limbo.
Like I did stop following it on Twitter because it got insane, and I like couldn't handle the insanity on the Twitter.
So when we ask for Sid to explain her country to us, right, we can also get an update from her because she is good. Now, yeah, the source of everything.
Yeah, British. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Well, sounds about right. If you're mm-hmm. the spokesperson for the United States, person for the UK. Perfect.
To be continued.
Totally.
But on that, but I felt like I had to be the spokesperson for the US because, okay, so you guys, the whole Alcatraz thing finally got confirmed that I've been saying for like weeks, right? Can we all just
heard it here first?
Yeah. Can we all just say that if people listen to our podcast, they would not have been like shocked by this information?
You knew it.
Yeah. I felt like a lot of people were like dumbly shocked.
I was not shocked at all because you told us like three times, like three episodes ago.
Yeah. Allegedly.
But they're going to do like loops around Chrissy Field, which is.
That sounds so boring.
For the run?
Yeah, for the run. I don't, it's not like there is no course maps. It's not finalized, but that's, they're going to do some kind of.
Make them go up and down the sand ladder. They're not doing the sand ladder.
That's why you race that.
Oh, area. Come on.
Sarah, you did it, right? Like, I have this like very vivid memory before we like did it all of you running back and like bleeding from the forehead. Like
yeah,
you
could no,
run into the rock.
It was like halfway through my scalp. I stood up. I stood up too quickly. Going through one of the tunnels and cracked my head open and had to go to urgent care to get my head stapled afterwards. I also, this is a race where I also had really bad food poisoning. And there was stuff going down my leg.
Oh, no!
I can only imagine. The thing is, I almost won this race, too.
I know. I
was very close.
But I remember like, this, yeah.
Yeah, so I cross the finish line and I have stuff going down my leg and stuff going down my head and it is just bodily fluids everywhere. So I have mixed memories about Alcatraz. I did it once. We'll put it that way.
What have you done?
It did you.
Well, okay.
Alcatraz 1, Sarah True 0.
Well, because that course, like, if you're like, I was running up the stairs as Sarah was running back down finishing, and I think we'd met, like, we didn't know each other, but I remember like just being like, whoa, like, what is happening to her?
What happened? What happens up there that she's literally bleeding from the head shitting herself?
Woo. So I really wish that the PTO race was doing that in conclusion. It would be way more fun.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
As long as I'm not doing it. race.
So they don't. They don't. I mean, they actually just might call it the Sarah Memorial Run Loop, the poop loop.
I lost a piece of my soul there.
Yeah,
I haven't been back to San Francisco since.
Oh, really?
No, I actually haven't. It's the airport.
And yet a part of you will always remain.
Oh. Sarah's DNA all over that city.
Oh, God. You escaped from Alcatraz, for sure.
That went a different direction than I was anticipating, guys. Just so you know.
Oh my God. Wait, did you, okay, can you, do you,
don't ask more questions about
the poop. No, I want to know what place, like what place she came in.
Second.
Oh,
you said she almost won.
I was winning for most of the race and then like things spiraled the last
You also, if you're winning, you have to run like hard down these stairs and it's like quite hard to do if you're running as fast as like the front pros. And it's quite hard to do if you're also dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. So,
I mean, it does beg another topic for maybe another day, which is, I've heard this discussion before, which is, when is it acceptable
is it
to shit, to shit yourself?
Yeah.
It's when like you're winning.
When you're winning.
Yeah. If you're going for the W or if there's a paycheck, it's always worth it to poop your pants.
Fine. I think I'm like, if you are not in contention for the win, like, it's like, no. You got to stop. Like, I don't even care if you like, I don't care if you're going to win your age group or you're going to like Kona. Like, these are all, our paychecks do not depend on whether or not we stop in the porta potty. You got to stop in the porta potty. So,
I do think that, how do I put this? The number two issue became worse after I hit my head.
I could see that.
Oh, yeah. Geez. Yeah. Concussion plus food poisoning.
I think things are pretty well under control. And anyway, topics.
Right. You're like, I don't think that's going to happen this year when they like run loops around like a field.
A field.
And if it does, it'll be like quite vivid. They're doing that for TV. So if it happens, it'll be quite vivid for TV.
They still have time to change the course, though. It's not till June.
I know. Well, so all these things, you know how people keep being like, oh, it's for TV. They're like, oh, Alcatraz would be too hard to film for TV. And you're like,
they used
guys,
to put the fan letter on TV.
It used to literally be on the local news. The local news aired it live.
Yeah.
Like, are you telling me that with your $20 million and your plan to revolutionize global triathlon, you can't do what NBC Bay Area did 30 years ago? Because that's kind of sad.
Send letter like three times. These are the best of the best. They could do it.
Yes. Get your token Golden Gate Bridge shot in transition or one of the Chrissy Field loops or the Sarah Memorial poop loop. Memorial. Whatever it gets renamed as.
Yes, they announced that. And then the Super League officially changed its name to Super Try this week, which I feel like we also can mock from a since we're anti-European.
And then they change arena games to
E-World
Triathlon Championship.
Yeah. Okay, you know what this feels like to me, though? Okay, so you know, now, like, obviously I'm, like, very close to this because we just, like, sold our house and bought a house. But you know when you, like, you go to sell a place and, like, your realtor's like, oh, you need to, like, do all these things to make it look, like, current and modern, and you spend a bunch of money, and then you realize, like, it's going to look dated in 5 years because these things are, like, two. That's what this feels like. Is like, this is going to look very dated in like 4 years.
I thought you were going to say they all use the same marketing firm.
Well, that also that. I also think like, because my husband works a lot with consultants because like, whatever, campaigns. And like, I'm convinced that like the same consultant went around to like all of these like dudes in London and like sold them the same package, like pretty sure. So.
T100 just sounds like a Terminator model.
That too.
Wasn't it an old calculator like when we were growing up?
Was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that. So we could also take the retro point of view and get shirts made that just say T100 and have the old
with like, a graphing calculator,
the national instruments or Texas instruments or whatever.
Texas instruments.
Yeah. Texas instruments.
Do you remember how expensive T100. Those were? Those were so expensive. When I lost mine, my parents like were like, no, we're not buying you a new one.
Yeah, they were like $300. They were like,
right. So I got real. So anyway, it actually, I ended up getting really, really good at mental math because they wouldn't buy me a new one. So works out. See?
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. No,
but
I
they
like
were
that.
Like $300. Yeah.
I don't know if it was
300. It was felt like 300.
It was a lot. Yeah. Money, yeah. But with all the announcements now, okay, so here's my question. So I also feel like now that like all of like Iron Man also finally put up their full schedule through the year, like the whole pro series schedule is up through the end of year too. Which side point, they're calling Mexico the South American Championships.
We're gonna what? Go.
We're on that go. But I think that prompted then like all these athletes to like announce theirs. So like I don't know when this became why everyone's announcing their whole schedules now. This is like a thing now. Like everyone's
I think
like
Lucy started it.
Did she?
Because oh, well, she made a comment about not going to Nice.
Right. She said I'm gonna do the T100 and she said I can't do both because I get hurt too frequently, which is like fair and true and fine.
And then so you have people popping up going like, oh yeah, I'm gonna try to do both.
But now like everyone's announcing. Everyone's like, here's my I'm announcing my schedule. And I feel like I should announce my schedule. Carrie should announce her schedule.
it feels very much like the summer tours from the 1980s yes. when we would get so excited to see our bands go on tour. And it was like they were announcing their summer tour. Where are you gonna come see me? So that's what it feels like to me.
I'm not like, I mean, it's fine, but I also thought like part of the appeal for most pros is that they don't like they can change their minds later, right? Like they don't have to sign up for a race a year and a half in advance. Yeah. Like I thought
or they
that
sign
was
up for like three on the same weekend. Right, and they're on and the decide. All different start lists. And
okay, that one's annoying.
That one's annoying. Yeah. Like, but I thought like part of like the appeal was that they could like know they wanted to target something in the fall, whatever, right? And not have to like.
Well, you know, you could always track who like actually does what they say they're gonna do.
Yeah. Ooh, we can make a game out of it.
Ooh.
Or do they just throw it all out there, throw spaghetti on the wall and just see what sticks with their training and with their previous results? Or is it to somehow throw off competition? You know, if you're going to Ironman Placid, Sarah, like maybe people are like, ooh, I don't know if I want to do that.
Probably
I don't
a
know.
Lot
like,
of people is, are probably.
How much strategy is behind these announcements as much as it is like, I need to please my sponsors.
I don't think triathletes are that smart.
You don't,
I don't think they're thinking that through that well.
Okay. In defense of, first of all, I don't even know what I'm doing like 2 months from now.
You're
going to
be at Placid because that is the if we were writing reunion
exactly.
tour.
Other than that, I can confirm nothing. But I will say that sponsors frequently, like at the beginning of the year, they're like, we want to know your race calendar so we can support you, so we can promote you, you know, work with you around those races. And then obviously for the PTO stuff, they wanted people to have the contracts, also like national teams. So if you are going to like the WTS races, like USA Triathlon wants to know which races you want to go to because they have to budget for them. Right. So like just in the defense of these athletes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also you get the super high caliber athletes are getting like backroom deals to sign contracts for. Like you go to Abu Dhabi and you're getting extra money on the side to do that race. Like, and part of the deal is you promote it along the way.
I 100% expected all of that to be happening and that every individual athlete knows what their plan is for the year. But I feel like we all also know that those plans are like written in pencil because like shit happens. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And so that's why the public announcement is weird to me because like how often like you just like things happen. Like part of being a pro is that like you're riding the line.
I just think right now, because so much is like kind of clickbait, like people, this is a low hype time of year.
So it's like okay. High hype time of year. High hype.
Well, Sarah. High hype, but like there aren't many races. So yeah. People want to feel relevant and like okay. supported by their fan base. That would
makes
be my
a lot
guess.
Of sense.
That where it's like, okay, this is kind of a boring part of the year because everybody's training.
There's like no news.
Yeah, let me get a lot of likes.
So we're making up news.
Yeah, we're making up news.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, we should make up some news right now, is what we should
Ooh.
Do.
Ooh.
So we should announce where our concert tour will be for the rest of the year.
I think it's we started the announcements by saying That's we're true. All going to Lake Placid. Let's be
we
honest.
We're going to Lake Placid.
You all are. I am not. But yes, that would involve me actually training. But
you can come. We heard you're really good at mile 22 of the marathon.
I would be more than happy to bring my karaoke machine and my microphone.
Yes.
And at that moment, tell you, you're awesome. I'm happy to do that.
I think mile 22, you're running up a big hill. So that would be very helpful. You may or may not get the bird from me. I'm just saying, Carrie.
No, I'm not racing it either, Carrie.
Okay, maybe just, we can just, drive up.
Yeah, we just like committed. Up. We've just committed her to coming. So I feel like we need to take. I feel like we needed a full training update, but we should take an ad break first. So I feel like after this break, we should come back and get a full training update. All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again, and I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year, and I used TryHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TryHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're gonna need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TryHard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the TryHard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co. So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How does it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's aminoco, aminoco.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift. All right. What's most important? How is Jocelyn's FTP going?
Well, the FTP is from the last time I tested, which is the last time I tested.
Is that the only time you tested?
Yeah. Okay. Well, since this year, I don't know. How often are you supposed to test?
Not that often.
Not that often. Yeah. Okay. So it's still 210. And then since then, I've been sick for 2 weeks and I like ride my bike very easily while watching Netflix or Amazon Prime.
That's so like totally a prescribed base, training plan. Yeah.
Base training, right? Yeah, base training.
thing. Yeah. I'm hoping to do. So Wahoo does the tour of Wahooligan at the end of the month, which is like, I think, 7 days of like hard training videos. So I am planning to do that, which it starts like this weekend.
No, maybe I'll hop in with you, Jocelyn.
Yeah.
I feel like I need a bike kick in the butt. Mm. Some consistency.
Are you like, are, do you plan on like riding your bike this year, Carrie? Or is this just like...
I do Zwift okay. pretty frequently. So I'm on Zwift probably twice a week at home. And then I have a little pack when I'm in Austin. I have a little pack of people that we gravel ride on the weekend. So we generally go gravel riding on Sundays. And so I joke, I am on, it's more like I don't swim. Let's be honest with you. I don't swim, but I'm training for the Eugene Marathon, but I train for a marathon as a multi-sport athlete. So
right.
Still only run 3 days a week, maybe a fourth, maybe, but generally I still only run 3 days a week. And all three of those runs are pretty quality driven, but I supplement that with a lot of biking. So, and it's, you know, I feel like it keeps me what my true runner friends can't buy into or don't believe or just have never been exposed to is like biking translates so well into running fitness. And if you do it correctly, and so does swimming, you know, like swimming is so great for running fitness, but yeah,
that's because like true, like runners and like, I'm going to make a mass generalization here. They like bike too easy. Like runners, like they get on a bike and all, and you're like, what? Like you like are like looking around, like where'd they go? Even if like they're very good athletes, right? And that's like, and like when you see that one, like, oh, you even see it at the pro level when like runners come over, they have to like learn how to. But I'm just saying, as a general casual, I'm not talking about pros. Clearly, I'm talking about my friends. when they, like. They just like runners like bike really easy. And you're like, what are you doing? So then when you tell them like, oh, I'm going to ride, they like don't understand. They're like, how is that going to get you fit? You don't have to pedal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think just the fact that it's low impact and you're still getting aerobic fitness, like, especially like I notice that my ability to do like pure miles as I get older goes down. So like, but if you're still exercising, you're still getting that cardiovascular fitness without all of the impact. Yeah. Lower risk of injury for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's also how I train for running, Carrie. But you know how I'm doing? So I adapted that plan for my like 100K. But obviously at some point here, like my limiter is structural breakdown and durability. So what is the minimum amount of miles I can get away with running?
To for your 100K?
Like weekly, yeah.
Where are you up to now?
Like I'm doing like high 30s to mid 40 miles a week of running.
I don't think you have to go much higher than that. If you are a durable athlete to begin with,
I am not.
Then it's probably not your running. Like I don't know that adding more junk miles on makes you a more durable runner. It makes you more susceptible to injury if you're just throwing more miles at it. But
which is why, you know, I haven't, right? But then I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm gonna get X number of hours into that, and you know, and then be like, and just like deteriorate.
Have you done like hard kind of mountain hikes? As part of
Well, so like my husband keeps trying to get me to hike, and I keep like, I don't want to hike with him. It's not gonna separate, and I'm like, eh.
It helps. Yeah. I feel like that helps with the ligaments, the joints and ligaments.
We have stairs in my house now, and I figured that it's like gonna be my training because I just walk up and down them.
crank up the treadmill to like 10% incline to see how long you can walk.
Do you have an agility ladder? I had asked Alyssa Gadeski from our sister podcast when I was training for my last JFK 50, because I was like coming off injury, and she was like, if you don't have time to hit the trails a lot, get yourself a $10 agility ladder off Amazon and just look up some drills on the YouTube, because that will help with your fancy footwork.
And it actually was super
helpful. Yeah, I do all the tricks for, and they work at like shorter distances. I'm just like concerned that it's not going to work for like 10 hours. You know what I mean?
I think it will. Yeah. I do. I think it will, especially when is your 100K?
Oh, I have 2 more months. I'm doing this 50K this weekend, guys. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Okay. So, but your 100K is in 2 months, but concurrently you're going to have to start at some point in this bell curve, like ramping up training for your Ironman too.
Right. Well, this is my whole plan. I figure as long as I'm swimming 3 times a week right now, I'll be fine because like, I don't need to like do anything fancy in the swim. I just need to like survive it. And then like my biking's okay. So, but I just have to hope that the running, like, you know, you said bike finish translates to running. I gotta hope it goes the other way. And then when I start like ramping, I need to ramp up longer rides in May. That's my plan. That's my,
okay. Yeah. That's
my, see, I have this, this is a great plan.
And a lot of it too, God, because like we're all switching into coach mode. A lot of it too, but this I think is really like great for people that are listening too, because we all love to do all the things. Like right. I love all the things too, but you like it all depends on your goals too. So if you want to go into this 100K and podium, or
no, I need my stones. My goal is to get my
stones. So yeah, there's this stone. You're getting stoned or something. I don't know what's happening.
So you just need to finish to get stones. Okay. Is that
it? So okay. You don't have aggressive time goals per se for that. So really that is about building your aerobic engine, which you can do as a multi-sport athlete. And then concurrently train for Placid, which you do need to actually perform.
I do want to do well at.
To get your niece.
That's like
spot.
My real goal. And then at niece, I have to finish because Jocelyn says we have to finish.
Yeah.
Yes. So those are
not holding hands.
Gotta have that high
and not clapping for each other.
Not holding hands.
Right. No clapping. No cheering each other on.
So you've got the 50K this week, and then do you have a 50 miler at any point, like leading up to it?
No,
okay.
Absolutely not. That'd be crazy.
Wait, have you done a long trail race before?
I was like, everyone I know is sort of 50K around here. But this one's like the one that's like right by outside my house, you know, like they're going to run in front of my house. Okay. And I signed up for it. And me and my husband signed up for, like, thinking it was like our local trail race. And it turns out it's like definitely a pro field, and it's going to be like streamed live. And there's like people flying in for it. And I'm like,
whoa.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like there's also like the pure runners that go into trail or ultra racing. They don't know that all the ultra people just stop and start walking up all the hills. Like, especially in the Bay Area. But which is why I think hiking, like, you should incorporate
hiking
just to get the miles
up. I'm always like, this takes so long.
I agree. I mean, I didn't say it wasn't stupid, but I'm saying it's going to be helpful. It'll be helpful for the 100K because at some point you're going to be walking, even though it's stupid.
Put on a 15-pound weight vest, put the treadmill on it, 5%, and you'll see how stupid it feels. That is stupid. Well, yeah, that's right. You don't train indoors.
I don't train indoors.
but also kind of speaking to what Jocelyn's saying, like that trail specific agility, like because as you get more and more fatigued, 5 hours into it, like. Your brain is a little fuzzy. Yeah. You don't want to hurt yourself doing this.
No, I absolutely wiped out like a week ago because I was so tired. It's I don't pick up, you know how you don't pick up your feet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, but here's my actual training question for you guys. And tell me what you would have done in this scenario, okay? And then we can hear Sarah's update. Okay, so I told you how my pool, I go to the Y and it's like chaos. It's like there's 4 lanes and they're supposed to be by speed, but all of them have people floating in them. And it's like 85 degrees and it's just, it's like not swimmable because like I lap people in the fast lane, like every 2 laps. So it's just like chaos. Right. So last night it was even more chaos than usual. There were like 4 people in the fast lane. I had already had to stand up in the middle lane and like U-turn twice. Right. Like, and then this other person wants to get in the lane. So the lifeguard, so I am like stopped and like, cause I'm like about to like grab a kickboard and start. And so I get stuck, like caught, like cornered. With the lifeguard telling this woman she has to move down a lane. And I couldn't go because the lifeguard's talking to her and she's blocking me. And there were other people, like I was cornered in the next to the lane line, like all trapped. And the lifeguard's telling this woman she has to move down, clearly because she's too slow. But the lifeguard isn't saying that. It isn't explaining it. And the woman went full Karen and was like, well, I don't understand why I have to move. And like, they're arguing and I can't move because I'm trapped. And so what came out of my mouth was, because the woman goes, well, I think it should be by speed. If I move in that lane, it's just going to be crowded over there. I think this should be sorted by speed. And what comes out of my mouth is, yeah, she's saying you're the slowest one. That's what she's saying. You need to move down. And then I felt bad, but I was like, I don't know how else to say that. Like, because clearly the lifeguard.
And then did you then get untrapped?
Then I got so untrapped.
Get like, out of that situation.
I didn't know what else to say. So what came out of my mouth was, yes, she's saying you're the slowest swimmer. Because the lifeguard wouldn't say it. And so this woman was like, and it, so it was like super. So what, like, what would you have said? I felt like, I felt kind of bad, but also like.
Oh, man.
You shouldn't feel bad because the lifeguard was probably like, yeah. Thank God you said it. Thank you, Kelly.
I mean, respect for being direct.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But yeah, I can see why you'd be like, ooh.
I thought I was like, in all fairness, it's not you. It is that other guy over there, but you're both really slow. No, I'm kidding. Right. But like, like, one of you needs to move down. Yeah.
That's a tricky one.
I know.
But like, oh. The important part is she moved.
She moved. She moved.
She did move. She probably left. She probably went to the locker room.
No, she was in full Karen mode. She swam the rest of her swim. Don't worry. But like then the three guys who were in the lane were so scared of me, they kept getting out of my way.
Yes. They got out of your way. It worked.
They were like kind of terrified. It worked. And I was like, well.
So my question is, if she didn't get into Karen mode and was just kind of clueless.
Right. Would I have been nicer? Probably.
Yeah. So I think you met her where she was. It was an appropriate response to her.
Where she was.
To her Karen-ness.
Yeah. Karen-ness. I was like, oh, man. I got to quit the Y, guys. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Not like, worth the price.
The bottom line is like, yeah, I think to make you a better, happier athlete, you're going to have to.
Yeah. It's unfortunate when you join a gym and you get less fit. Like that was what was happening. Right. I was like, oh, that's not good. So.
Right.
Sarah, what's your training update since we've heard from everyone?
I don't want to talk about it because I feel really silly. So a few days ago, I pick up my son. And like something happened to my back. And I am in so much pain that I'm like sleeping with like a heat pad because like I can't sleep more than like an hour without waking up because it's just like spasming. I'm still exercising, but it's just like it makes me feel ridiculous. I'm like, hey, Sarah, you're a pretty good athlete.
Right.
Yeah, you go and pick up your son and you are crippled now. So like, yeah, it makes me feel that I am only good at going in a straight line
in three
sports. And that does not translate to other things.
Do you do like, are you only good at going in a straight line? Do you do like the, what's the word? The lateral movement or the directional?
I mean, I can, but I also picked up like a 32 pound kid and like ruined my back. And that like, It's been years since anything like that's happened. Mm. Yeah. Mm. But it made me feel very
you bad. You definitely had the choice of words of like, I'm still exercising. You didn't even say training. You just said I'm still exercising.
Yeah.
That was a deliberate choice of words.
Yeah. Yeah. Aww. Well, because I'm a little owie. A little tender.
I feel like that.
Damn it, Hawk.
Like, because I've done that where I like woke up and I like couldn't turn my head one way or like something. You know what I mean? Like, you just, and I feel like it usually goes away within a week, but you never know.
Oh, how it long? Is. It's yeah, it's been almost a week now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you,
it's pretty brutal.
Is there any, like rehab that's taking place? Are we doing acupuncture or massage or have you been doing?
I have a massage chiro. Schedule for Friday. My chiro guy can't see me until next week. I don't know.
Oh, come on. He's got to get you sooner.
Do you go to massage regularly?
No.
I can't emotionally handle it.
So.
Like, I really, like, it makes me feel like I'm just like, so I just can't. I can, like, and I tell my husband this, we go to the same guy, and I'm like, I can't emotionally go more often. Yeah. Not like,
really? Yeah. Okay, so because I have a grown-up job now.
I actually take a lot better care of my body than when I was racing as an elite. And so, but I've also been hit by a car 2 times. So I have like chronic neck pain where I go to my chiro guy like every other week. And then I do massage every 3 to 4 weeks. And if I don't, then like my body gets really stiff and I have had my neck lock up. Like, you know, wake up one morning and you can't turn your head. That's happened a couple times. And then when I started actually taking care of myself regularly, then it's a lot better now. But yeah, otherwise I feel you on the, I feel like I turned 40, had a child, and everything hurts more.
I don't think I've had a massage in 4 or 5 years.
No, really?
Yeah, proper, like either relaxation massage or sports massage. No, but I do love that Theragun thing or the Hypervolt, I think is the one that we have. Sorry. No sponsorship, but.
So this was not your announcement, Sarah, of your race schedule is what I'm getting.
No, I'm announcing like I am not good at picking heavy objects up.
Well, unfortunately, that doesn't come up that often in triathlon.
You know, I could focus on the one time it did mess up my back, but really I should focus on like the thousands and thousands of times I have picked them up and it's been okay. Yeah, so maybe see? Just my perspective's wrong. Like,
yeah,
maybe I'm actually a more well-rounded athlete than I've been thinking.
That's what I took away from this.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, do you have a random question? You didn't have a random question last week, so I feel like you owe us a random question this week.
Sure, sure. So I've been watching a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race on the trainer because it makes me happy. And I was wondering what everybody could incorporate from drag that would improve their lives. Like what lesson, life lesson from drag would be relevant to you?
We have a drag laureate of San Francisco, and I had to write a story about them one time. And yeah, she kept saying that it's all about joy, right? It's about bringing joy and like living joyfully and like not like, cause obviously, you know, some of the people who historically have done drag are, they have harder things happening in their lives. And so it's about like, you know, we don't always have to be like the worst things that happen to us, you know, bringing joy. So there you go.
I love that. It's, yeah. It's definitely a celebration. Yeah. I think for me, the thing I love is like how big reading is in the culture. So like you better be able to take people making fun of you and be able to dish it out without like, you know, really having it affect your ego. Where I think we all can use a little of that. Like, we should be able to laugh at ourselves and at other people in a, not a malicious way. It's like a way of love, like spreading that humility, like having the confidence to be able to take it, I think is a big, it's a really good life. Like, the more confident you are, it doesn't matter what somebody says to you. You're just like, yeah, you know what? I do have a big nose, you know, like, and I own it.
I was going to say the confidence, the confidence that drag queens exude. It's like, oh yeah, I should have that.
I don't need more confidence, day, guys. For every moment. I was like, when I was considering colleges, I was basically at one point like, you know, it's probably good I didn't go to an Ivy. I would have turned into such a bitch. Like, I did not need that to be
validated. You would just be on, like, Wall Street or something.
Yeah, basically.
You'd be, like, a finance bro. But obviously.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. No, you guys said all such amazing things. I'm going to go practical. Like, what I could draw from a drag queen is, like, makeup tips because I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put makeup on properly. I don't know how to use fashion to my benefit. Like, I would just love to spend an afternoon with like Trixie Mattel or another awesome drag queen and just like work me up, bitch. Work me up.
True. So now I am visualizing you in like real drag makeup and like This makes me very happy. So I think we're just going to leave it there. Like, picture yourself in the mirror with drag makeup with like your eyebrows like glued down and stuff and like 2 inches yeah. above where they normally are. Amazing. Amazing. I don't know if there's a filter for that, but we need one.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, thank you for listening to another week of If We're Writing. Please send us voicemails. You know, flood Carrie's inbox, whatever. Thank you for joining us, Carrie. And we'll be back with Khadija next week. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.